Nowadays, saving and sharing images is just so much more important than likes and everything. Like, the more people save your post, the more people will see it.
This is the Beneath the Surface podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle and Julius, and we are here to help you unlock your true potential. Learn from our failures and successes and start understanding what it takes to grow a successful business around your passions.
We are a creative couple originally from different countries who are both able to build online businesses by doing what we love: photography, online marketing, and travel.
Let's dive beneath the surface, become better versions of ourselves, and find success in life. Before this episode begins, remember that there is a video version of this podcast available on YouTube. So head to our YouTube channel, Beneath the Surface Podcast, to watch the video version. Welcome to another episode of the Beneath the Surface Podcast. Today, we're going to have a bit of a shorter episode about Instagram growth. How can you grow on Instagram in 2021? I recently shared some stories about my own opinions on how you can grow on Instagram, and that inspired us to actually do a whole podcast episode about it and talk freely about our opinions on it. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider subscribing to the channel and remember to like the video. I will give you 2 seconds this time to like the video. Thank you. That means a lot to us. Let's get now right into the episode and discuss. How can you get those followers?
Well, the good thing is that we have two different perspectives, because like your turning point in your career where you really grew was a few years back where things were completely different. And for me, it was 2020 and 2021, which turns out to be much harder nowadays, but it's still possible. I feel like a lot of people think that it's almost impossible to grow nowadays on Instagram, but it is. And we just want to talk about how we both got there and how you can do it too.
I started back in 2017 when it was, as you said, way, way easier to grow on Instagram because, well, especially on the niche I'm in, it was sort of new and interesting for people. And the whole travel industry also hadn't like completely exploded yet. So it was definitely less competition, and I think the main difference that has happened within the past few years is that it's very hard to grow by getting features, for example.
Yeah.
And that's now just like one small example, but like that was like sort of the way to go in 2017, 2018, that if you got features, you always got a few hundred followers or even few thousand sometimes. Nowadays, it feels like people don't really have the attention span to get that interested.
Yeah, especially if it's only one feature.
Yeah, and you sort of have to find other ways, and we're going to discuss about that as well, because you sort of have found a way, and your recent growth has been pretty incredible to watch from the side. And
that's really crazy.
And it just goes to show that when you do things the right way and you're actually talented and passionate at what you do, it is still possible. So we're going to discuss about things like algorithms and like what affects what. And of course, no one really knows what truly works and how does everything work. But there's definitely certain principles that can be sort of followed and tried out in order to reach some growth.
Yeah. And before we're going to talk about my growth, which is sort of a bit more relevant for anyone because it's just happened recently, I think it's good that you can explain how you grew and like how it worked back then.
Okay, so we had a whole episode about my story a few episodes back, but basically the way how I approach Instagram growth at the time was that I didn't really, to be honest, think about it in the beginning. I was simply just sharing images. And it took a long time for me to realize what I have to do in order to gain even a bit of attraction for my images. And I did Instagram for like over a year without hashtags, without tagging anything. It was like, I had no clue. And then the moment I started tagging pages to my images, the moment I started using the right hashtags, I sort of just looked what other people in my niche was using at the time. And then I copied those, put them under my post. And I noticed that already helped a lot. But at the time, there wasn't any understanding on how it actually worked. And for me, it was very much
like unintentional. I just got my first features by posting without trying to reach anything, and it happened like without sort of any effort from my side other than tagging pages and using the hashtags, and that's how I got my first few thousand followers.
That's how you blew up with that one viral image.
Yeah, then after that, I posted one image that went completely viral on Instagram, and that doesn't happen that often either nowadays.
I was really surprised that it sort of happened to me. I don't know if you can really compare it that much to your going viral, but we're going to talk about that soon still.
Yeah, you definitely reached like millions and millions of people with that image, and it brought a lot of opportunities as well, which is really cool. But yeah, if we purely just compare the amount and the craziness of my stuff going viral at the time, it doesn't really happen that much anymore. Maybe there's like a few things in a year nowadays on Instagram that gains like more attraction, but it doesn't really blow up everywhere. And I don't really know why that happens. Maybe it's because feature pages get a lot of sort of hate for posting the same stuff, even though it wouldn't like necessarily be on the feature pages niche. Because at the time, my image was shared on every page, no matter if it was travel photography or if it was like editing related. The image we're talking about is like created out of 70 different objects. So
it was, I mean, same for me. Like it's not reality or like, of course, the image, but I changed a lot of things there, but still a lot of nature pages shared it. So it also caused a lot of confusion.
Yeah. And that's always a problem with Instagram. You can't really, as a creator yourself, like stay on track how your image is being shared on every page and what they write there. And yeah, it's just too much work. When something sort of goes semi-viral, at some point it's just too much to like stay on track how people and how feature pages use it.
Yeah, especially because if people don't actually tag you in the image, you won't find that notification anywhere if they only tag you in the caption.
Yeah.
It just disappears. I have no idea. Like maybe some other big pages shared me, but I will never find out.
Yeah, and that's like, I think there's still some very, very big feature pages that don't tag in the image. They just mention you in the description. Think, right? Yeah, and I think EarthPix as well, I'm not sure. But like that sort of leads to the point of sometimes I woke up in the morning a few years back and I had like 2,000 extra followers, and I was like, where did this come from? And then I found out that it was like a big feature base that doesn't really like tag you in it. But yeah, let's move on from the features. That was like the best way to grow in 2018, 2017. And there wasn't really any other ways. There were no reels when I started out there. Yeah. Also, I think stories were around, but they came right when I started. Maybe it was even in 2016 when I was like doing some photography
I can't really remember that shift anymore. Like I can't remember the time before stories, like, but I haven't been active at that point. Like I only used it personally.
Yeah, for me, it feels like stories have always been around, but I remember like sort of the switch when it happened. And that was like a huge change for people, like people's growth and growing their brands and so on. Because before that, Instagram was only a photo and video platform. You could post photos, you could post videos. I also don't know the history of that. Well, I'm not sure if you were even able to post photos back when Instagram actually came out. But then stories came around. Now there's reels and there's like so many parts to Instagram that it leaves way too much room for speculation. And that's what I want to talk about with Michelle in this episode as well. It's like how useless it is to speculate how everything works and what are the main things that you should focus on to actually grow on Instagram. And it comes down to three different things: self-awareness, using the right techniques, and actually having some talent. And I want to talk about each of those three things.
And before we're going to start talking about it, I would like to promote myself a little.
Okay.
No, I have basically written a free ebook that covers all of it. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about every single point that I mentioned in the ebook, but if you want to have it basically in text form or you want to look back to it, you can always download it in my bio.
Yeah, and there's also a link down in the description on the YouTube video. Yeah. I definitely recommend everyone who's watching or listening to download this ebook, because all of the things Michelle teaches in that ebook really have worked out for Michelle. And the growth with those techniques has been pretty incredible. And some people might argue that, well, this is just what everyone is saying, but it's not really.
No. Like,
there
are a lot of cliches, but these cliches are just true.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of like stuff that sort of people feel like everyone talks about, but I wonder how many people actually take action on those like cliche.
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. Like a lot of people know everything, but not a lot of people implement everything.
I would like to start out with the self-awareness thing, because a lot of creative people always think that they're way better than they actually are. And this is also called the Dunning-Kruger effect for like mm-hmm. very early stages, which basically means that when you first start learning about something and you're constantly learning new things, you get that like, how do you say it? Like
you get just so excited about learning it that like
you think that you know everything.
Yeah. Like you really dive into it with the moment that you find out about it, and then you think you know everything, but over time then you realize that you don't know anything yet, and that's basically when the demotivation kicks in.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people basically can get past that point.
And that is exactly the issue. A lot of people who start photography, a lot of people who start editing or whatever it is, they get to the point where they feel like they know everything, but they're not really at the point yet where they realize that, like, I actually don't know anything yet.
Or like, some people do realize, but then they don't get past that point, because then basically after this point, the curve goes up again and you sort of slowly start to actually knowing more, learning more, improving your skills. And basically then the self-confidence level aligns with your level of skills.
The problem with this is that let's say you're a photographer who has started out, you photograph for like half a year, and you post your stuff on Instagram and you're using hashtags, you're using tags, and your mindset is that my work is worth to be shared. And then you start speculating like, why isn't my account growing? I'm doing everything the right way. My images are cool. I'm using the right hashtags. I'm using the right tags. Instagram is shadow banning me. This is not working out. Like, it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. But it all comes back to, are you actually talented? Are you actually good yet?
Yeah, but then I also have to mention that, like, just because you don't get shared or you don't grow doesn't mean your content is shit. There are a lot of people who post a lot of good content and it still doesn't reach a lot of people, but that then also depends on different factors.
If you do everything the right way, which is what Michelle teaches in her ebook, then if you're talented, you most likely will get somewhere. But mm-hmm. but there's like things like you have to be active and you have to do things like constantly. Also, it's like niche dependent a little bit. If you're in a niche like cityscapes, for example, or like urban stuff, there's not as big market for that as for landscape on Instagram, for example. So it also depends a bit on the niche, how much you can grow and how fast you can grow and how much your stuff can get shared and so on. Because certain niches just don't have as much interest in them. And yeah. That's just how it is. If you share your wedding photos, for sure there's a big wedding community, but it's not as big as some other niches. So you have to also take in consideration that depending in what niche you are, you might not reach as many people. But
yeah, exactly.
But the trade-off here is that the people you reach are most likely people who are also interested in that exact same thing, which could be then weddings or the city stuff. So they are more likely to like stick to following you.
Yeah. And there I also want to mention that it will always be more valuable to actually have just a few people who are really interested than like a ton of people, but only maybe like 5% are interested in your stuff. There you have to see like if quantity or quality matters more for you.
Yeah, so the self-awareness thing is really important in the beginning, and you just have to like remember all of the things. What niche are you in? Are you actually yet that good? And then are you doing all the right things? And you can learn all those right things from the ebook. And they're very simple stuff. It starts from hashtag, it starts from tagging, but then it comes more in depth to like actually organizing your work to the point where you can pump out content constantly without losing that much quality. And that's basically what Michelle has done, and it has worked really, really well. But the moment Michelle stopped using those techniques and felt demotivated, that's when everything went down.
Yeah, so that's basically, like, of course, it's not good that everything went downhill, but it proves our point so much. Like, I did everything that was sort of required to grow for, like, months and months, and I was growing from zero to over 30,000 in, like, 6 months. And then because of Corona and everything, I wasn't really feeling motivated to create because we couldn't travel, we couldn't take new images and everything. So I just stopped creating and I was just sort of in a creative hole. And then, of course, everything went downhill because I wasn't active. And then eventually I started doing something completely different. I think we're going to start with that soon.
Yeah.
Not yet, but that basically changed everything again.
That's exactly what can happen. It has happened to me many times. It has happened to a lot of people I know. It's like the moment you stop, everything else stops as well. Like that's just how it is. But before we talk about what Michelle just said, I want to quickly dive into the whole world of like speculating around how Instagram works and how that can lead to you actually not growing at all. When I was being like really active on Instagram, I was introduced to like all kinds of groups, and I was also a part of like a engagement group which eventually turned out to be the worst thing that I've ever been a part of. And there's definitely some sort of groups nowadays that can be very helpful for growth, but at the time when I joined a group, this was the first and last group I ever joined, it was about like having specific times for liking images, having a specific time for commenting images. If you didn't do this, you would be kicked out from a group. And that doesn't do anything. The liking and commenting on other people's posts every day at the same time and having like 50 people doing that for you and commenting, cool photo, this is beautiful. Like that's the most toxic you can ever go with Instagram and what comes to genuine feedback. Because if you're a part of a group where you're actually getting sort of fake comments to your post, most of these people who are in these groups don't care at all about what you are doing, first off, and it doesn't really make you feel good about your work when you know that the comments that are coming in day to day are not really genuine comments. They're just to sort of try to reach more people, and in reality you're not reaching any more people because of that. But then there's a difference to groups like Instagram, for example, nowadays values way more saves and stuff like that. And then being part of groups where people save your posts, that's way better than getting fake comments and fake likes on new posts, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to say. Because nowadays, saving and sharing images is just so much more important than likes and everything. Like the more people save your post, the more people will see it. So I think back then, like nobody really knew what worked well on Instagram. So they thought likes and comments, wow, okay, that's cool. But yeah, I think the groups also shifted a lot. I can totally understand that like receiving fake comments or like people have to comment on your post sort of made you feel a bit weird.
Yeah, so those type of groups that I was part, or that one group I was part of, was very toxic for my mind, and also it did nothing for me. And this is sort of a touchy subject for certain people, because some people might be under the illusion that something that doesn't actually help helps, and that's when we come into the like, whole speculation world of how the Instagram algorithm works.
Wait, I want to say something. So to be fair, when Julie started talking about those groups, I was like, Julie, stop. Because I'm personally part of a group that basically supports each other by saving. And no, not everyone in the group has to save or whatever. It just like you decide if you want to join and save or not. And I think like the view of those groups have shifted a lot, because I also feel like the people in there sort of are way more like a community. Like a lot of people know each other, a lot of people travel together. So that also changes a lot of things, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any personal experience. I personally don't believe that it does like a lot, but saving has proven to be a really good way to reach more people, because the Instagram algorithm, simply in my opinion, this is my opinion, this is how I think about it, because no one truly knows how it works, because it's all mathematical equations and super complicated stuff. But the way how I think about it is that when you post on Instagram, it will be initially shared to a group of people who follow you, a random pool of people who already follow you.
Plus the hashtag.
Well, this as well, but the initial reaction comes from the people who see it on their timeline.
Yeah.
Because hashtags is more randomized.
Yeah.
But when it's shared to a random group of people on your timeline or on their timelines, the reactions that the people who initially see it determines how this post will basically perform on Instagram.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's say I normally post digital art, and I would tomorrow decide that I'm going to post a selfie of me on my feed, which would be completely out of context, completely something different, and it wouldn't be cool for the people, because my followers are not expecting me to post images of myself. And then when they see, okay, Julius posted a new photo, they see it on the timeline, this random group of people, of course they're not going to interact with it if it's not interesting at all. Same goes for any, if you're mainly doing cityscapes and randomly you start posting portraits, or if you're like sort of this rainbow of content where every post is something different and has nothing to do with each other, it's very hard for the initial group of people to actually react to it in a positive way.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to pick your niche in the beginning, or like, of course, you have to try out different things, but then at some point you really have to pick a niche.
Yeah.
And I have posted some sort of different stuff a little bit, but it's still sort of connected to the same niche.
Yeah, it's connected, and also it's still interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to completely match with what you have done in the past, but the content has to stay like very quality-wise, very high. Mm-hmm. If it's not interesting enough to look at, then people will not react to it. And the way how the algorithm works is that when you post to that group of people, let's say out of 1,000 people that Instagram puts it on their timeline, 500 like them, or like 500 people like it, then Instagram decides, hey, I'm going to show this to more people now, because it's actually worth for Instagram also to share the image when they see that, okay, this group of people enjoyed it, let's share it to more people. Because Instagram benefits from images being shared and images growing as well. And that is sort of how everyone should just think of it. It's not about Instagram shadow banning you. It's not about your post doing worse because of some like magical reason. It's just that it won't reach people if the content is not on point, or if your image just that day is not that good. If what you post is not interesting enough for people, then it's not going to reach as many people. And this comes down to the creator then, because I've created a lot of images that I've thought were super good.
Same for me.
Yeah, and I've had like very good expectations for them, and then nothing really happened with them. Yeah. I never went in my mind to the like, okay, now Instagram shadow banned my best post. No, it just might be that the image actually wasn't that good and didn't really relate to people as well as the stuff that you've been posting earlier. And then when you like start to compensate for this by joining these like some sort of toxic groups and so on, then that can really lead to like, first off, you losing interest for doing what you want to do, and then just like falling into this speculating game, which is not really good for anyone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to basically find sort of excuses why their posts didn't do well, or just like think that the algorithm sort of is against them that day. But yeah, as you said, it just comes back to whether your followers actually think the post is interesting or not. It doesn't really mean that your post isn't good or the quality is like lower than usually, but it just means that followers are either not as active or just not as interested in this one.
Yeah, that's another fair point. It's like some days are just different. It might be that there's like a big holiday in United States, for example, that day.
I totally notice days that like my posts do better. You don't. You always say that there's no difference. But for me, I notice it so clearly that like 3 days of the week are really, really good and the others are like, well,
not that well. Yeah, for me, it's probably different because I have such a big group of initial people who see it.
Yeah.
And I have very loyal followers at this point. So for me, like at this point, it doesn't matter as much anymore. But still, like if you're a smaller creator, remember that there's so many different factors that play with a post reaching people. And it's not as simple as, or like as complex, I mean, as like Instagram shadow banning you. There's just like a lot of different small factors that play with it. And some days are better, some days are worse. Some days you fail, sometimes the audience sort of fails for you. And that's just how Instagram works. And you shouldn't really focus that much on like the likes and the comments and the reach itself. Just create more content and there will be some that will be successful and some that will completely flop.
Exactly. And if you want to build like an engaged community or an engaged audience long term, just posting good content won't do much for it. Like, of course, quality content is really important, but if you post an image once every 2 weeks or once every week, it won't change much either, because the more you post, the more you get the possibility to be seen by new people. And if you don't post, if you only post once a week, you only have that chance once a week. And then there are also things like reels that, for example, have helped me a lot because I made use of that opportunity pretty early. And then also stories. People want to know who you are and who's behind the art or whatever niche you're in. And yeah, there are just so many different factors that play together that you sort of need to take in consideration.
Yeah. Now we're moving more towards like how to actually then grow on Instagram. Now that we like discussed about all of this like sort of toxic mindset behaviors towards Instagram, now we move more towards then how to actually do it. And we're not gonna go super in depth about each detail, but Michelle already brought up really good points. Activity is the number one thing, and this also is a bit niche dependent. So someone who's, for example, in the 3D art niche, it takes way longer to finish art pieces, and as much as it would be perfect to post daily on that niche as well, I've noticed that it's not really necessary for a lot of 3D artists to post every single day, because people know that it takes so much time and it's sort of this like bigger thing. It's easy, it's way harder to create a 3D animation than take an image of a tree outside, for example. No. So the skill set required for 3D is so much bigger that people sort of appreciate that more. And that's just sort of like random niche now, where like posting every single day might not be first off possible, but also not really that necessary, because people think that stuff is so unique that they interact with it no matter if you post once or like once a week or twice a week, whatever.
Yeah, engagement might be higher, but do you think they would actually grow as fast as someone?
No, not as much. Yeah, exactly. No, definitely not. But it's not all about growth, as you know. But
of course.
But yeah, so Michelle mentioned reels, Michelle mentioned stories, and I think out of all of Instagram, the most important thing for like actually growing an engaged audience is the stories.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, of course, you will grow without stories, but if the followers will sort of remain your followers, that's the question.
Because anyone, if you do luckily get shared on a page nowadays, you might get a couple hundred followers from that. And if you get a couple hundred followers, it's really important to have some sort of a follow-up to those people who follow you. Because there might be someone who is not really interested in what you are doing, but they thought that one thing that you did was cool. So they made the effort to follow you. But if there's no follow-up, if there's just random posts after another and not really a lot of storytelling in the like caption and so on, you're not really giving enough for these people to get interested truly in what you do. And therefore, you might have like hundreds of thousands of followers after years, but only a few thousand people out of those actually interact with you because all you have given them is content.
Yeah, and I also noticed that like I was always really active, received a lot of messages or answers to my stories. But as soon as I said, everything went downhill, I wasn't that active anymore. Basically, nobody really responded to my stories at this point.
Like on our niche, people don't really like fan you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's not like this whole celebrity type of thing in the photography and a creative niche, which is perfect. I love it that there's not that. But this also means that you don't really have fans. You only have people who follow you. And in order for them to be interested in something that you're doing is that you have to regularly, constantly post updates about your work, about your life, or whatever it is. And you determine then how much you naturally want to share. And not everyone has to share everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so I sort of have always, but since like 3 years, I've been posting on Instagram. Of course, in the beginning, I wasn't really that good, but that's normal. But I haven't never really focused on anything else but posting. And I wasn't really growing, I think. At that time, I had around 1,000 followers, but there wasn't anything like increasing or whatever. And then I think, beginning of last year, like shortly before the pandemic started, I just tried to go all in and basically like take this thing serious. I started recording stories, although it's really, really uncomfortable in the beginning. And I never thought I would be able to do it. And I just like, I was all in, I was all present, probably I was in everybody's face sort of. And then I slowly started to see success in my growth, and like really quickly I grew then from basically 0 or 1,000 to 30,000. It just required me to actually put the effort in and make use of every single opportunity that I get. And then also, as I said, I started like the Reels feature was being shared on Instagram, and I just made use of it very early on. And through that, I grew like probably like 10,000 because not a lot of people were using it. And I didn't know if it could be useful or anything, but I thought it was similar to TikTok. And on TikTok, like videos randomly go viral. So I just tried it out, and it turned out to be really good and really helpful for my growth.
Yeah. And I personally haven't really dove that deeply into like Reels and so on, but there's a lot of things that I'm currently not doing that I should do when it comes to growth. And the reason for this is because I'm focusing on completely new things. And I want to do different things. And for me, focusing all my effort into growing on Instagram is not really that important for me as of now. But like, yeah, I just could be doing way more.
You would have probably been already close to 1 million if you would actually put the time and effort. But you have other interests at this point, or you would just want to focus on other things.
Most likely not like near 1 million, even near, because that requires like way. I mean,
anything is
possible, but. I sort of missed the wave where people like actually were growing hundreds of thousands within like half a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. I missed the wave because I was sort of burned out creatively and physically and mentally and all of that, because I was just doing way too much at the time. And now I finally found something new and interesting to do. I'm starting trying to start YouTube slowly, and that hasn't really like started that quickly yet, because I got interested in 3D. I'm very much a person who jumps from one thing to another, and that's sometimes bad, but
just like every other creative person basically.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to like move more to YouTube, and I'm now into the world of 3D. I'm just having way more fun with that than with trying to like focus on posting daily on Instagram and so on. I've been doing it every single day almost for like the past 4 years. So it's starting to get a bit, sometimes it's not as much fun as it used to be. And I think that's completely normal when you do something.
Yeah, probably also because nowadays you don't really create like that crazy fantasy composites anymore, because you've sort of moved a bit more towards photography.
Yeah, and now we haven't been able to photograph. We haven't been able to do that. So all of these like tiny things with the pandemic and so on have led to the point where I haven't really had the interest that much to focus on Instagram the way how I used to before. But yeah, you never know. Maybe I get more into it at some point again. But enough about me. Let's talk about Michelle's recent growth and what she did to actually reach. Yeah. It's very simple. Super simple. It is.
And I'm still at the pace where I have to hustle. Like you sort of don't like really have to focus on growing on Instagram anymore that much, because you have a big audience, you have a lot of data, everyone is engaged, but I'm definitely not where I want to be. So I have to hustle. And when I had that creative block, it's sort of like I wasn't only unmotivated to create, I was just not feeling well, because I knew that I have to be or like do better than that, and I just couldn't motivate myself. So yeah, everything was sort of going a bit downhill. But then there was one turning point where I thought like, okay, I'm just gonna try. I know Photoshop quite well, not like perfectly, but I'm just gonna try to create something completely different and completely like far away from photography. I would just combine a lot of images and create something new. And it probably took me like, the first image I created, I think, was the one with the glass box and the fire, which didn't turn out to be like the best one, but this took me 2 days to finish. And yeah, then I realized how much time it actually takes to create things like that. But it turned out to be probably the best decision like in my social media career, because people seem so interested in this stuff, and I've never would have expected that.
And I feel like that is because the competition on the travel niche and the competition on the landscape photography niche is so big right now. It is constantly growing. There's millions and millions of people doing it now. There wasn't as many when I started out, but now it has sort of exploded to the level where everyone wants to do it. Yeah. Everyone who's a photographer like dreams of traveling and taking photos here and there. And maybe it's becoming slightly boring to see. We had a bit of technical difficulties, but we'll continue now. And I think I was left off to talking about how it is sort of maybe boring for the people who follow that niche to see the same stuff over and over again. Because for years now, people have traveled to the same locations, taking similar photos. And if you don't stand out from there enough, it's not enough to do different color grading on a photo to stand out. Like, you have to really do something different. And you sort of randomly just wanted to start doing something different. And when you did it worked out. And it doesn't mean that it works out for everyone, but I think it's very important nowadays to try to think outside of the box and maybe challenge yourself creatively a bit differently than like most of the people now are.
Yeah, 100%. And I think with digital art, you are more likely to create something completely unique. Like, if you basically create something out of multiple images than it is with photography. Of course, there it's also possible like to add something, I don't know, specific to the image. I'm talking about landscape photography, because portrait and all this stuff is something completely different. But like people who travel to places and take images of places that are popular, you've sort of seen the place already. Of course, the image itself is unique, but the place isn't anymore. So people's reaction might not be as crazy as seeing something completely new.
So what Michelle did, new content that is completely different from what you have been doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened. Something really positive happened out of that. And no one else really sees how much you work, but I see it every single day, how you are constantly like literally all the time doing something with your career.
Yeah.
Every single day.
I haven't really taken like a lot of days off or time off recently. And I know I should, but there's just so much in my mind all the time that I could do or that I should be doing that it's really hard for me to take a break. But yeah, when I started posting more digital art and everything, I created one piece. Some of you might know the mountain Segla in Norway. I think we can just insert an image here for the YouTube video now. And everybody has sort of seen this image already or this mountain. Everybody knows the mountain. And I just wanted to create something different. And Julius didn't approve at all in the beginning. Like he thought it's such a stupid idea because the mountain is so popular and people think it's weird if I change it up completely. But it's basically just like a really peaky mountain. And I thought it could be cool that I changed the shape of the mountain to a wolf and then basically changed the sky to a moon so the wolf would be howling through the moon. And to be honest, I didn't think that out of those images that I created, this would be the one that would go viral. So there we can also come back again to the fact that only because you think something does well doesn't mean that people think that it's interesting.
Yeah,
or the other way around.
And as Michelle said, I thought it was sort of a ridiculous idea. Out of all of the images Michelle created, that was the one that I thought was the most ridiculous and that did the best. And well, I've told Michelle multiple times that she shouldn't listen to me when it comes to those type of things because I might have my own opinion. I've been to that mountain so many times myself. And maybe it's also influenced by some of the people I know whose mindset is a bit like Photoshop negative when it comes to like...
Yeah, but there it's like, I think if it's like really visible that it's Photoshop, then...
Oh, yeah, I know, but like no just problem. Like it's the just... sort of... How do would you say...
I know what you mean, yeah, and probably everybody does too.
Yeah, just like turning something super popular. I mean, it's cool, but sort of corny, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it in better words.
I really like the idea.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit ridiculous, but clearly it wasn't.
Yeah, and then I just, I posted in the evening, went to bed, woke up, and then the post had like 20,000 likes. And at this point, I had... I think 34,000 followers. So this is crazy. It's like close to 100% engagement, which has never happened to me before, ever. And yeah, that's when pages started sharing the image. And earlier we talked about that features don't really like do much nowadays anymore. But I think that's rather applied if like one big page shares your image. But at this point, like, this image got shared across social media, like every single, or what means every single page. But I think by now hundreds of pages have shared the image. Also a lot of bigger pages, like a lot of pages over a million followers. And then also slowly nature pages started sharing the image and Norway pages. And they forgot to mention that it's Photoshopped. Which sort of like created a whole debate. I think there are also articles even about it, like if the image is real or not. And I always try to mention that it's Photoshop. Like even in my original post, I basically wrote that it is. But yeah, you can't really have an impact on a feature page, just mention it or not.
I think that's the most stupidest thing ever because... anyone who understands editing and photography even a tiny bit knows that something like that could never exist. Something like that could never look like it looks in that particular edit. And this just goes to show that people who don't really know anything about photography and people who don't really know like what editing is might think that something they see is real when it's not. And it's just my brain now that like, I'm so into like this whole skill and of editing and photography. Mm-hmm. It feels so weird that there's so many people who think that something like that is real. And then the whole debate if it's Photoshopped or not, like it's so unnecessary, whatever if it is.
Yeah. And it just sort of then made me feel bad people blaming me because I didn't do anything wrong. I mentioned that I changed the shape so it looks more like a wolf, but I can't control what other pages write in their captions. And well, yeah, that's sort of the power of social media.
And this happens every single time something attracts a bit more eyes. Some of it jealousy, some of it just like people like just thinking something is stupid and then wanting to like put me in comment somewhere. You can't avoid that. It has happened to me so many times when something of mine has like gone a bit more like viral. And I've also gone viral with images that like I personally didn't like that much and that didn't really look that good. And then I got blamed for like my stuff looking bad for going viral and stuff. And then this is, you can't control it yourself. Yeah. But I think we have discussed quite a lot now about like all of these different things regarding Instagram growth. But I think our takeout from this episode is just that only thing at the end of the day that matters is that you won't grow if you're not creating unique and good content. And
if you're not consistent.
Yeah. So consistency, posting often and constantly trying out new things is what can really lead to more growth. And every single one of us needs a bit of a lucky moment at some point that something grabs on more. And it will happen eventually if you stick to doing something actively. But there's so many people who do like 2 weeks of posting, then they stop for 2 months and then they wonder like, why is nothing happening? Because they feel like they deserve to be shared when in reality they haven't really done enough to be shared. And in Michelle's case now, it was very, very good that it happened and it sort of started a snowball effect that feature pages shared it, because the way how feature pages work is that if one feature page shares an image and it does really well there, the other feature pages think that, hey, this did super well, we're going to post this as well and it's most likely going to reach more people, because it helps also the feature pages to grow.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is what happened with your image. Every page that posted it reached way more people with it. Some people, some pages even like said that it was the most successful post yet on their pages. And this just goes to show that your post just has to be something that people really like to see. Something interesting.
Which makes me feel really good. And of course, you also shouldn't force anything. I sort of had to push me a little in the beginning to try out something new because I was sort of a little scared of how people would react and everything. But as soon as I started and basically dove deep into it, I got the whole excitement for creating back, which is the most important thing. And I was super excited to create again. And then the response that this work got for me was incredible.
And now you're reaching soon 50,000, which is pretty crazy if you ask me, within the time frame that it has happened and taking in consideration how many breaks you've had in between.
I had probably a 6 month break in between.
Yes.
Yeah.
And part of it is because pandemic, part of it is you're just not feeling it and this is completely normal. But yeah, our take on this, don't speculate. Stop speculating around what works and what won't work. Download Michelle's ebook. All of the important information on how you can grow in 2021 on Instagram is there. And I'm not only saying this because Michelle is my girlfriend. I'm saying it because all of the stuff that is in there is the stuff that she's been using, what my brother, for example, has used in the past. And it has worked always.
Yeah.
Always. If you do right things. But it just requires you to know where your own skill level is. You need to understand if you are actually good and like where to be shared, because there is a moment. It might, for some it takes longer, for some people it might take 2 years to get good, for some people it takes a couple of months to get good, but you have to be self-aware of how skilled and talented you are and truly understand what it takes to be where to be seen from other people, and then all of that has to be followed nowadays with other type of content. And I guess that's pretty much it for this episode. We probably left a lot of important ideas that we had out of it, but whatever.
Probably, but if you have anything in your mind that you want to discuss about, please just write it in the comments or message us, because I think it's a really interesting topic. And I think there are also a lot of different opinions and split opinions.
Okay, I said it already, but stop speculating, create more, be self-aware.
Make use of new opportunities and features.
Especially the new features. Those are really important because Instagram truly values people using something new that they come up with. So, Okay, this is the Beneath the Surface podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye.